everyone, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast, the companion podcast for www.digitallydownloaded.net. I'm the editor-in-chief of Digitally Downloaded, Matt, and with me this week we have Harvard.
Hi.
And we've got a new person this week, Ginny. Hello, Ginny.
Hi, Matt.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining in. We will be talking about crazy stuff, no doubt. So we've got a bit of a special podcast this week. Earlier in the week, I was able to have a chat with the producer of Mass Effect Andromeda, which is coming up next month. So we've got that interview, which will occupy a fair chunk of the podcast. We might just jump to some music, come back, and then enjoy that interview. Fabrice from BioWare, and he's going to talk to us about Mass Effect. So I've had a chance to have a bit of a play with the game so far.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's looking really good. I mean, can you kind of give me a background? What role has you had with Mass Effect over the years?
So I started on Mass Effect 3, at the beginning of Mass Effect 3, when BioWare opened the Montreal studio. And so I started that with the content team, so we've been working on characters, cinematics, levels. I did a lot of content for the multiplayer mode of Mass Effect 3, moved on to DLC, and I'm one of the few guys who were on Andromeda since day one, so 5 years ago. Very long time ago now.
It has been in development for a very long time. Obviously, one of the reasons for that is it's going to be so much bigger than the previous Mass Effect games. What are some of the other, I guess, details that you think kind of will take this to, I guess, the next stage for Mass Effect?
Well, so there was a number of factors. So one is, obviously, it was a fresh start, right? So you got a new story, you have to build characters, new characters, you have to, build them, construct them narratively. We switch engine, which is also a big endeavor. Frostbite is a way more powerful engine, but still you need to switch engine. So, for example, all your art assets have to be redone. And then it's also long because if you want to deliver high quality games, you need the ability to fail. And when you take a game like Andromeda, where we were bringing back the exploration in the center of it, where we were trying to bring the loyalty mission back from Mass Effect 2, where we're trying to take to single player the gameplay and the combat of Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, and you try to take all those elements that you've learned over the course of three games into one game, balance them together, suddenly it's a very, very complex thing to do. And again, it's important to have the luxury to fail, but fail means it takes time.
Sure. So obviously this takes place in an entirely different galaxy, and it's kind of like a clean break for Mass Effect, you know, start with the slate clean and get going again. Obviously there are some elements that kind of come across, but it's quite clear to me at least that your intent is to start again and give people something completely new. Why did you decide to do that? I mean, obviously with Mass Effect, more than most series is out there, people kind of fell in love with everything that they played, and, you know, I'd be lying if I said that, you know, I wasn't kind of looking forward to seeing more adventures with Garrus or Tali or whoever, and obviously they're not going to be part of this one. So why did you decide to completely start things again, kind of?
There's several reasons to that. One is that Mass Effect is a universe. It's an entire universe, and you want to be able to explore every single bit of it. It's an extremely deep, rich, and complex universe, and we're storytellers, and we want to keep telling stories in that universe. And it's important in regard to the trilogy. The trilogy was a trilogy. We always said it was a trilogy. And I think for us it was important to stick to what we envisioned at the beginning instead of trying to extend it until people get tired of it. And so the trilogy was a trilogy. That was the idea, has never changed, and it was extremely important to us. Once it was done, obviously, as you mentioned, a lot of people were attached to the characters, and a lot of people were very fond of this. But it was important to us to clearly turn the page and say, that was a story. We all had a good time. We actually all had a great time building that, playing it, and all that. Now, we moved on. And what we're going to deliver has the same core. You will be attached to this character. You will be attached because that's what we do. But it's important that it's a brand new setting and that we, again, open a new chapter in that universe.
Sure. So one of the things I really loved about Mass Effect was the way it raised kind of moral and ethical questions as you're playing. That was kind of core to the thing. You know, how would you respond to certain situations? Who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? You know, all of that kind of thing. With this one, with humans being, I guess, in the sense the aliens, and in many ways you could interpret that to be kind of the humans are the menace. Is that going to be another kind of key theme that'll run through this game? And, you know, will it be a complex question that it'll ask of players?
Oh, absolutely. It's always at the heart of our stories, as you said, and there's no exception there. It's even key. And when we started 5 years ago to write the stories, we were not in the same political context as we are today, but obviously it resonates with a number of things that are happening in the world, and this is what science fiction is about, right? It's about telling stories of your own world projected in a different setting. And yes, absolutely, you will have those moral choices, and it's always the same with Master. We ask ethical and moral questions, but we never judge the choice you make, and this is the important part about Master. You just make choices, they have consequences. The game, as mechanically or narratively, will not judge the choice you make. It's just consequences, and that's what happened. And you can see right away by the settings, you humans arriving in a galaxy where you have nothing to do there, you're the intruder, but you need to stay there. I think it's also a lesson of, you know, humility and curiosity, and you'll have to deal with the fact that this time, even if you choose a peaceful approach, the other guys, the alien races that are there, have all the reason to be scared because you're different, and you have to deal with all those reactions. So it's also a way to mirror the reaction that we can have in an everyday life.
Sure. I mean, one of the things I really like when you're playing the very first couple of scenes from the game, and there was that scene where the ships came into, or the big ship, the one with all the colonists on it, came into the galaxy and saw the planet for the first time. And you could see, I mean, it almost looked like, to flip it around, in most sci-fi, you know, the early scene where the alien ship is kind of approaching Earth, you know, the similarities are clearly there. So,
yeah, as I mentioned, the notion of you being the alien was central to the way we wrote the story. and the approach. So you're absolutely correct. We try to mirror this, and it's I think it's a fairly rare position in science fiction, or too often humans arrive in a dominant position, and suddenly it becomes an analogy of the 20th century colonization, wild west, although we wanted to avoid that as well. So it's a story about you being in need to find a new home, and there are people where you wanted to land. So.
Yeah, and I guess whether you want to replace the people that are already on the planet, or you know, come into conflict with them and exploit them, or you want to be peaceful. Yeah.
And obviously, the choices you will have to make are based on that. Sure.
So, the main villain, obviously, in the last Mass Effect trilogy was the Reaper. And the thing I really loved about the Reapers was if you applied certain, I guess, moral and environmental kind of philosophy to what the Reapers were doing, it was almost justified. You know, you could make a strong argument that what the Reapers were doing was actually a good for the universe. From what I've played so far of this game, obviously, it's just the early stages, so I haven't really got a feel for the enemies. At the moment, they're just hostile guys to shoot down. But are you definitely going to create similar questions with the main villain in this one?
Definitely. I think the main difference is that we have a very clear antagonist, and this is part I mentioned that when we told and tell epic stories, sometimes it's hard to relate. And with this game, same thing for the villain, we wanted to make sure that you create a link to the villain. So instead of having an entity, an entire race as villain, which is fairly abstract, there is a very specific antagonist. Of course, he represents a number of things symbolically, but he's still a person. And he has his view, and he's a specific enemy. And obviously, the more you progress in the game, the more you realize that he's more nuanced than what you thought previously, and that whatever he's doing it for a very specific reason. So yes, it's as always in our story, nothing is binary.
That almost sounds like the villain from Dragon Age Inquisition. I can't remember his name. Remember his name off the top of my head. But yeah, he was a very complicated kind of person. And again, if you thought about it in a certain way, what he was doing kind of seemed justified.
And as for all our stories, it started, you want to make sure to identify the antagonist, the villain, and then the more you progress, again, based on the choices you will make, you will have a different view of why and he's doing what he's doing.
So I guess one of the consequences of being so narratively focused is that a lot of your players then have ideas about how things should play out. and you probably know where this question's going, but in Mass Effect 3, obviously there was that great controversy over the ending, and you guys went back and fixed it. I put that in kind of inverted commas, but you changed it to kind of suit the feedback that you got from the players. As kind of storytellers, that's, on one hand, it kind of seems very weird to me because did Tolkien rewrite Lord of the Rings because some people didn't like how he finished it off and those kinds of things, but obviously in games there's a different expectation about what developers will do in response to feedback, I guess. Do you find, as creative people, that's a tension to deal with compared to the story you want to tell versus what the players might want from you?
Yes, I know. I think one of the biggest lessons is to remember to focus on the journey. And obviously we don't make our life easy in the sense that most of the choices that you're making that has consequences over the course of our games, you don't see them. They're not obvious. You realize they happen when, for example, you talk to another player and you tell him, oh, that character was a dick with me. And he will say, oh no, he was awesome, he did blah, blah. And suddenly you realize that you made a number of choices. Mm. But we don't tell you, obviously, this choice equals this, because it's actually nuanced, except for a very limited amount of choices that are extremely clear. You want to save the Geth or the Quarry. That's very clear choices. So you always have those. But most of them, 90% of them, you don't see them. It's because you took a dialogue choice. It's because you took something, and that suddenly the branching opens, and you have it's more subtle. But that's a choice we make. And I think even in this game, we want to make sure that the important part is the journey of tens of hours and the bond that you're going to create, rather than focusing on a specific moment, whether it's the ending or any other moment across the game. It's about that journey. So this is certainly something we learn and we focus on there. And we pushed it actually to the way where you're done with the story, because the story of this game has sort of an end. But when you're done, you can still go back, explore things. You can still, you're not necessarily done with the game.
So does that, is that kind of way to help make that process a little bit more natural? Is that why you've kind of gone back to revisit the Paragon versus Renegade kind of path? Because in this game, obviously, you've got four kind of different paths or four different choices that you can make to certain things, but the response that you'll get from them is not as obvious as it was Paragon versus
it's
Renegade.
More nuanced and more subtle. So the reason behind that is we wanted and needed, in a way, to get away from a binary system. The problem of a binary system is that it forces people to take a side. And once people engage in a side, suddenly one side becomes the good side and the other side becomes the wrong side. And you've got a judgmental aspect that we actually never wanted. At the origin, we said, whether you're Paragon or Renegade, there's no judgment. You play the game you want. But again, the binary system makes a bit of a gamification of the system. And people suddenly, once they choose a side, have a tendency to always pick that side, regardless of what the character is actually doing or saying. So we wanted to make sure first to bring the freedom to shape the personality you want to shape without expecting it to become good, bad, whatever it is. So you remove that objective. So now we think it allows the player to focus on what, you know, how the character is actually reacting and to shape it. And the second aspect is, if it's more nuanced as a system to build trust, for example, it means that the relationship we'll have are also more nuanced. We open way more possibilities than just a two-sided coin.
Sure. So, also from what I've played so far, you know, the action's kind of really ramped up in this one. And then I noticed in your presentation, you were very careful to make sure, but yeah, this is still an RPG, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard, I mean, if you look back to Mass Effect 1, the process of the series becoming, the franchise becoming more action-based is quite clear. Is it a difficult thing to mix that kind of high action with the more, I guess, cerebral kind of RPG side of things?
Is it difficult? Yes. The main, obviously, because you're trying to do, to have best of both worlds, then you need to balance it, right? But the thing with the trilogy is that there was a narrative that was consistent and made sense with getting narrower and narrower and narrower, because that was narrative. Starting with a fresh story as we do, we don't have that constraint. So suddenly we can say, we want to take the best of every three games because the narrative doesn't constrain us in a specific direction. We define a narrative we want. So that allows us to take the exploration of one, the relationship of two, you know, we mean by the loyalty mission, and for example, the action of three. Now, when you try to balance all those elements in a single game, when it took three games to develop them individually, suddenly it takes 5 years to make a game.
Sure.
And yes, it is complex. The balancing is the best example. Obviously, it's extremely complex to balance a game where you have really deep RPG system, a lot of actions, because the amount of possibilities are just huge.
Sure. All right. So I've got just one more question, I guess. When we're playing this game, you know, in a month or whenever it comes out, you know, which character would you recommend that we kind of look out for? Do you have a favorite?
If I have a personal favorite, yes, but I wish I can tell you because it would be spoiler.
Right, okay.
So yeah, obviously there are characters that we're more attached to, but on the character that we've shown publicly also already, it will be hard for me to say because it's a bit like choosing between your kids, you know. I've been spending 5 years with those, but
sure. No, thank you very much for your time and best of luck with the game. Hopefully it's as big as the last trilogy was.
Fingers crossed. So thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome back. I hope that interview was interesting. It was certainly interesting having a chat with him. And obviously, Mass Effect is going to be a huge game when it comes out in, well, a couple of weeks now. It's exciting. No end of big games coming out in March, but that's certainly one of the biggest ones. So given that we are all excited about Mass Effect, we thought that this week we'd kind of kick things off by having a chat about BioWare and Western RPGs in general, BioWare being probably the top developer of Western RPGs, whether as better or not. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that a lot of listeners out there are big fans of at least Dragon Age or Mass Effect. So Ginny, I know that you're a big fan of Dragon Age. What kind of got you into those games and what is it about them that you enjoy so much?
Okay. I might be going off as I know that I can't, so I'll try to keep it short. But basically, long story short, the very first game I guess I really got into was actually World of Warcraft. I know, it's not okay, just I'm getting there. I'm getting to the Dragon Age stuff. So I started playing World of Warcraft when I was a angsty teenager, bit of a loner, really enjoyed World of Warcraft. And I think as I got more involved with the World of Warcraft game, the MMORPG, not like Warcraft 3, the RTS, what happened was I started realizing that, okay, it was really great, punching things. It was really great raiding. It was really great doing all those, I suppose, combat aspects of playing an MMORPG. But what I thought was really actually engaging was the lore and how Warcraft would like interweave lots of the lore into quests that seem sort of like small and inconsequential, but really sort of like tie together a really larger overarching narrative. And, there's like World of Warcraft books, there's like World of Warcraft and people are doing comics of it now. Like obviously there was much more to World of Warcraft as a universe than just the game. And so I had a mate sort of put me on to playing Dragon Age Origins. She was like, hey, you love the lore of Warcraft, why not try Dragon Age? And at first, a bit skeptical, because obviously my background had been in MMORPGs, like Warcraft and other Asian MMORPGs. I was like, oh, the single player thing, I don't know if I'm really into it. Like when I picked it up, I was like, party management is awful. And then it just kind of, it was hard for me to get acclimatized to as someone who had only played, I guess, MMORPGs and like console games on the GameCube, like Smash Bros. Up until that time. But sort of like Warcraft, I think Dragon Age Origins really sort of drew me in with its narrative, except this time it was way more engaging because in Warcraft, you're only reading about the lore. You're reading about the codexes, reading about the ancient heroes, reading about the faction politics. In Dragon Age Origins, you could sort of create those things. So, I was the hero. I was creating the faction politics and I was getting really involved in what I would find out later would be like a huge body of lore. And so basically in terms of Dragon Age, I've played all the games, all the expansions. And what has really impressed me, I suppose, as a player of Dragon Age is that there's been lore coherency. Like lots of franchises, I suppose, will have like a reboot game in the middle where they'll just like, everyone's in a parallel universe, like Dragon Age Remix is 2.5 kind of thing. But the thing with BioWare, at least with Dragon Age, because I haven't played many Mass Effect games, I wouldn't really know, but there's always been an overarching lore consistency. And obviously with the presence of the Dragon Age Keep mechanic, where you can sort of like load your saves from old games, or even load world states from old games, even if you didn't play them, into your current game that you're playing, I feel like it's made choice for players very impactful, if that makes sense. And as someone that values lore, values reading it, and values the creation of it, that was probably the most engaging part for me and why I love the franchise sort of to this day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got I must admit, I find the Dragon Age and Mass Effect games to be really appealing for much the same reason. I really get lost in the amazing lore and the amazing depth that the BioWare storytellers go to really flesh these worlds out. I guess for me, one of the things I do really love about these games is compared to MMOs is with MMOs, you obviously have to deal with player behavior. to a much greater extent. And I find it quite immersion breaking when you in an MMO and you go into a town and there's like 100 people spamming you to sell to sell their flaming swords, or they're doing spamming the dance command, or whatever. I find that to be quite immersion breaking. What I love about BioWare games is they were kind of the worlds, the environments, there's a consistency to it, and it's all much more believable because you don't have to deal with the randomness of player behavior. So yeah, I must admit, I'm probably a little bit more partial to Mass Effect than Dragon Age, which is a bit weird because usually I prefer the fantasy to the sci-fi. But yeah, Mass Effect just does such an incredible job of creating huge spaces, the perception of huge spaces and planets to explore, and the plot I find to be quite interesting in Mass Effect. And Dragon Age kind of feels more like a Dungeons and Dragons campaign, which is built, you know, out of modules and kind of stuck together. And the overarching plot is probably less important as it is in Mass Effect. So, yeah, I mean, are you looking forward to giving Mass Effect Andromeda a go?
Yeah, I mean, I would be really keen. I know most of my mates actually sort of, I suppose, have your position on it, whereby, you know, they've played both, love BioWare, but probably kind of are more engaged with Mass Effect. And so, I mean, I know that BioWare is a good studio. Like, I've loved their games in the past with Dragon Age. So obviously, I think when ME Andromeda comes out, I'm definitely going to want to try it, and definitely going to want to try and, I guess, see what BioWare can bring in for me anyway, to me, if they can still bring the same sort of storytelling impact in what I would say is an unfamiliar environment for me game-wise, which is sci-fi. So yeah, definitely, I'm really interested in trying that out, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of the good things about Andromeda is it is taking place in an entirely different galaxy. So, you know, it's literally, well, not literally, but it's 600 years kind of difference between the story from the previous Mass Effect series and this one. Humans don't really have contact back over that distance with home base, so it should be quite easy to step into without really being familiar with the previous trilogy if you haven't played it. So, Harvard, I know that you're not the world's biggest fan of BioWare, or at least haven't played a whole lot of BioWare games. Is there any particular reason that you kind of haven't really got stuck into them, or is there anything about this coming up one, Mass Effect, that kind of interests you?
Actually, I know you mentioned that I don't play a lot of BioWare games. There was one that got me into it, and it was a while back. It was Jade Empire. I don't know if anyone knows that game. Yeah, I liked that a bit more because I think it was a bit of a step away from what I guess I perceived from BioWare, which was really black and white morality in its narrative telling. So you can either be the good guy, you can be the bad guy. And Jade Empire tried to mix that up a bit with, there were still two paths, but one was like the open hand and one was the closed fist or something like that. It was like, you could choose to be forceful or you could choose to be merciful, but neither of those sides are explicitly good or bad. And when I read about things like in Mass Effect, it is just kind of like a, you can be this great guy and save everybody, or you can be a bad guy and get all the power for yourself. It's like, that's something that doesn't really interest me in a narrative perspective. And so that leads really well into Mass Effect Andromeda. I love that they're getting rid of that. Well, they're kind of rethinking that. So they have four spheres of communication now, I think. So when you're making a conversation choice, you could choose to make a response that's going to go towards, I think, was like compassion, or there's a few other ones. I still think it feels a bit gamey, but it's a bit in a better direction, I think. So I definitely will be trying it out.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because the kind of the overarching plots of Mass Effect and Dragon Age, the morality, the sense of morality is very fluid, and the game certainly wants to ask you questions about sit with things, whether something that you're witnessing or doing is right or wrong, and to give you the perfect example, I mean, if you look at the Mass Effect series, the villains of that series is obviously the Reapers, and they pose an existential threat to kind of humanity. Well, not just humanity, every intelligent species in the galaxy. But is this, if you look at it from a certain angle, if you apply certain concepts to it, it kind of starts to look like it's, or you can certainly argue that the Reapers are doing the natural world, or natural world's natural environment of the universe, are good. So narrows down a lot of the moral choices that you make, as you say, to kind of renegade or paragon, good or not so good, was a little bit disappointing. And yeah, like you say, they really have gone back to try and fix that with this one, with the four kind of different approaches to conversations that you can have, and none of those approaches are actually kind of set in a good versus evil kind of binary. They can't remember the exact terms for them, but there was, you know, one of the options was to kind of follow your orders as a soldier, or another one was to show compassion, another one was to think about things critically, and that would affect how the conversations played out from there. So I think that this one will have a more nuanced approach to character development through morality. And it's certainly something, when I had the chat with the BioWare guy, it's certainly something that BioWare is very keenly aware of, that they wanted to improve for this game.
I wanted to ask as well, do you think you'll adapt well to, I think, the more shooter direction that Mass Effect Andromeda seems to be taking?
Yes. I mean, I'm not the world's biggest fan of shooters, as just about everybody knows by now. But with Mass Effect, I could certainly get through it. I was so into the narrative and the experience that I didn't really care that the fundamental mechanics, especially by the time the third one rolled around, were shooter orientated. And from the hands-on that I had with the game earlier this week, I certainly got the impression that I'd be able to sit through it. It won't be my favorite side of the game. I'll be much more interested in the storytelling and the character development, but when the game's good, when the story's good, I'll certainly put up with a lot of different things. And welcome back, everyone. So, for the last section of our podcast this week, I thought we could have a chat about a topic that's really quite interesting, that Western RPGs and Japanese RPGs have developed over the years. One of the key differences between them is the kind of the storytelling. And being a fan of Japanese RPGs doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a fan of Western RPGs and vice versa. And a lot of the reason for that is that the stories that they tell are just so very different. So we thought we'd have a chat looking at, I guess, given that we've been talking about BioWare, Western RPGs and the way that they tell stories, as opposed to Japanese RPGs and the way that they tell stories, and you know, some of the key reasons that we might lean one way or the other. So Harvard, I know that it's probably fair to say that you're much more of a fan of the Japanese RPG's approach to storytelling. What is it about you find engaging in terms of the stories that they tell?
Yeah, I think you hit that on the head. I definitely play a lot more JRPGs. I will be so biased in my answer. So if you're listening to this and you're a fan of Western RPGs, apologies in advance if I say anything mean to your favorite game. It's probably going to happen. I definitely grew up with JRPGs, and I think to me, the first thing that really hits me is the linearity of it, so that it builds toward this ending and it's got a determined pacing to it. And so when things like Final Fantasy X or Final Fantasy XIII come along and like Western press will say it's too linear, it doesn't have any branching paths or whatever, like that's fine. That's actually what I enjoy, because that's the opportunity for the developers and the writers to really pace themselves for the story. They think the player's going to be feeling this around this point, let's throw in this conversation, this cutscene, this encounter. And I feel like the most successful JRPGs manage to instill that sense of player choice while still having that perfect linearity so they can plan for whatever eventuality. So Persona 4 is a great example of this. In your day-to-day cycle, you get to pick what activities you do, whether you want to work part-time or study or go fight monsters or whatever, but the overall plotline is still quite straightforward, and you have to experience that while feeling like you're living out of a high school life. And that's really what I enjoy about JRPGs, is that someone's planned this out for you. And so you can just go in and enjoy that story and have trust that the developer and the writers know what they're doing. And as with Western RPGs, I don't quite like the fact that I think there is this overarching narrative, but there's also this big power fantasy where they're like, you're also this hero, you can do whatever you want, and you can go wherever you want, and you don't really have to care about our narrative. Like, you can if you want, but you can also just go into the dungeons and kill the monsters because that's what you find fun. And personally, to me, that power fantasy doesn't really do anything for me. So I get very bored if the narrative isn't up to par with the JRPGs that I really like. And sometimes, most of the times it won't be, because that's not the main focus of development. I think that's the best way I can explain it.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the question, would Lord of the Rings be as engaging as it was if it was a choose-your-own-adventure book?
I think it's funny, because they've tried a lot to Western RPG-ize Lord of the Rings, or to adapt it to a bunch of different genres, like Shadow of Mordor is a good example. I think they're good because they give you the feeling of living in that world, and so if you really want to expand that experience of reading the books, I think they're really useful. But if you just wanted something on par with the books, like the same kind of experience, I don't know if you'd get that in a Western RPG.
Sure, yeah. Ginny, what are your thoughts about it? I mean, do you kind of lean more towards one form of RPG than the other? And what are your thoughts about the way that JRPGs kind of tell their stories?
Well, I would say I'm the direct opposite of Harvard, because while I do play more Western RPGs and I'm more familiar with Western RPGs, I suppose, I wouldn't particularly say that the narrative in Western RPGs is better. I know I just went on like a 7-minute spree where I was like, just, you know, loving BioWare, and I really do love BioWare, but I think I have a real I wouldn't say something, it's not a problem that stops me from enjoying Western RPGs, but it definitely is an issue that I feel is compounded when I've like played, I don't know, like a Tales game or something, and then like come back to Dragon Age and then gone, oh, you know, something is a little bit lacking. And for me, I feel that Western RPGs, like Harvard identified, I suppose, they're all about giving you, I suppose, some, I would call it the fantasy of choice. So, for example, while I love Dragon Age Inquisition, I definitely did feel like every choice that I made was, in the end, not particularly impactful, and that it was sort of like the game had planned out what it wanted me to do already, and regardless of how many bad things I did during the game, I was still going to be a hero. So not that I didn't enjoy being a hero and that I didn't enjoy saving Thedas and, you know, adventuring with my party mates and forming really cool relationships, but I definitely do say that the problem that, funnily enough, Harvard's breakdown of JRPGs and how they sort of like have a very linear story, that was actually a problem for me when it came to Dragon Age Inquisition. So I guess in a roundabout way, I'm sort of saying that I don't quite enjoy linear storytelling, which is probably why I haven't picked up as many JRPGs. But I would say that in terms of a Western RPG, I think that what we get is we're sort of bombarded with the illusion of meaningful choice, but in the end, we are sort of delivered with a very linear story or a very black and white story. Obviously, there are exceptions. Like, for example, Dragon Age 2, I thought was amazing in terms of choice and how you could sort of swing the ending. Obviously, don't want to give any spoilers here. But I would definitely say that I think on trend, Western RPGs have a problem whereby they're trying to tell you that, you know, you can pick anything you want. You can live your life, do whatever you want, choose whatever you want. But they're actually delivering what is a very linear story. And I think this false advertising kind of grates on me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously the biggest controversy that kind of hit Mass Effect as well, the original trilogy. The ending to the Mass Effect 3 disappointed people, a lot of people, to the point where BioWare had to actually go and change the ending because players felt that they didn't have enough control over that ending. And that's always the risk, I guess, with Western RPGs, is at some point you do have to finish the game up, and whether the player's choice through the game is enough to actually, or if they feel like the ending's satisfying, regardless of what choices they make through the game, will kind of determine, I guess, the success of it. I guess for me, I obviously lean heavily towards Japanese RPGs as well, not because I don't like Western RPGs a whole lot, but simply because, you know, I really, really like Japanese RPGs. But what I like about them, I guess it's got to do with the way that developers go into actually thinking about the games when they're developing them. I get the sense from all the conversations that I've had with developers of Japanese RPGs and Western RPGs that are always very, very focused on what the player wants to experience, giving the player an experience. And it's kind of, they want it to be quite obvious and overt, and players are able to easily follow along with the plot, and it's all very kind of, for lack of a better term, the blockbuster approach to storytelling. It's make sure that everybody's on board with it, make sure that everybody follows along with it, and nothing is missed by any player as they're playing along. Whereas with Japanese RPGs, they approach it more like actual storytellers, like novelists or people who are writing literature. And they throw in ideas that are not necessarily overt or obvious. And there's, you know, you can apply philosophy to a lot of what JRPGs, you can create theories about, or you can analyze how the stories are told. You can go in really much more in depth with JRPGs, I find. There's that surface level, and then there's the iceberg underneath, whereas I find with a lot of Western RPGs, once you try to dig below the tip of the iceberg, you kind of end up in the ocean. So I see the great difference between them. As a guy who kind of studied literature at university and stuff, I kind of like to sit down and really think about what I've, after I've experienced it.
I just wanted to ask you guys, because this is something that I've been playing recently and it's been on my mind. Have you guys both played The Witcher 3?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I think there's a really Japanese aspect of storytelling to that game. And hear me out, because it's going to sound crazy. But if you've ever seen like old school Fist of the North Star or Rurouni Kenshin, this idea that there's this traveling hero who goes to this town who needs their help, and you get that Western power fantasy kind of in there, but the story itself enclosed, it's got like a little beginning and a complication and an end to every quest. And then when you leave that quest resolved, but you leave the world unresolved and you leave the character of Geralt a little bit unresolved. And so you're finding out more and more and you're playing as this character and it builds, but it's also got this little linearity in the quest design. And so I enjoy that game so much because like every time I hop in and do a quest, I'm always satisfied. I don't know if it's because it feels like a JRPG or because these guys did Western RPGs just absolutely right. What do you guys think?
I think for me, my suspicion is anyway that it's because that game or that series was actually based on existing literature. You know, it's a very popular series of novels. It was before they started developing the games in Poland. And that meant that the developers had a huge amount of lore to already draw on as opposed, and they had, you know, this sense of this huge world, and they had that narrative depth that I was talking about with regards to JRPGs before they even started to develop the game. I think when you're looking at games like Mass Effect or Dragon Age, where the lore and the world's been kind of created from scratch, it's been created for this explicit purpose of a game. So everything kind of revolves around that gameplay experience. And there's no need to put any further depth into the world as a result. To kind of give you another example, which is a little bit off track, but the Metro series, they're not RPGs by any means, but the two Metro games I felt had that kind of narrative depth that I really like in games, in JRPGs, because again, they're actually based on existing novels. And I think if developers can take a novel and then adapt it into a game, what they've got is they've got a kind of a contribution to the overall narrative, as opposed to everything being focused on the game itself. I think that might be the difference. At least that is my, and probably why The Witcher feels a little bit different to a lot of other Western RPGs.
Yeah, I would definitely probably agree with you there, just in terms of, I think the conception of lore, when its source is different, like as of when it's made for a game and when it's come from books. I think with The Witcher 3, I'm not sure how far on you are yet, Harvard, but I think that The Witcher 3 creates lots of poignant moments, but these moments are poignant because while you might be like the traveling hero, you know, you're a real badass, you're like kicking the ass of, you know, weird god creatures left and right, but the game still has these awful things that happen to people that you might care about, maybe not as Geralt, but as a player. And Geralt, despite his badassery, despite his silver sword, he can't do anything about it. And I think because in RPGs, often you have side quests whereby your choice is sort of like what makes the quest ending or the outcome poignant. I think being in a situation whereby you feel a little bit helpless despite all your power, I suppose, I think it sort of cuts your character and the player's ego down to size. And I think that is a bit more immersive for me, realizing that I might be trying to play this character who is martially superior, you know, emotionally stunted, but that I'm still sort of forced to live within this sort of like tortured world that the other characters live in. And I think that might go some way, I suppose, to sort of like assuaging the problems that we might have with the Western power fantasy in RPGs, I think.